Good evening, everyone. Good evening. We're together. How awesome. This is wonderful. Welcome. I am Pastor Alicia. I am honored to say I am the pastor here at University Church in Syracuse. And I have my colleagues over here, Jihei Sung, Andy Anderson, and BJ Norix. And I'm so glad to be a part of this clergy team. And we'd like to welcome all of you here today. Okay, so if you brought any food for our Thanksgiving bags, we have some buckets up here, and as you come up for communion, you can set them in the bins that are up here, so you don't have to worry about, oh, I forgot to drop them off. Just know you can come up during communion and drop them off. So you have the order of worship that you've been handed, but if you would like the full order of worship, like every single word available that we're going to say, even maybe, what? It's not there, never mind. He's telling me no, and I remember, but I forgot. Okay, and so thank you for the heads up. And the last thing is, we have a combined Advent study this time around, and I'm really excited about this. We will be having a study in four of the churches, and the clergy will be rotating around, so you'll get to work with and work on each of us as the Advent goes on, and it starts the week of November 27th. And so here is just a little bit about that. It was worth the wait, right? It's a good one. Please stand as you are able, and let us, with our combined voices, join together in the call to worship. It will be displayed on the screen. You call us yours, O God. So here we are, gathered, trusting you will nourish us on this journey. In faith, we show up. In a world that is aching, we bring our weary hearts, longing for a glimpse of hope. In faith, we show up. You call us to imagine alternative ways of living and loving together, creating a world where all life flourishes. Even though we sometimes struggle to believe that change is possible. You, O God, always show up for us. Your faithfulness and abiding presence extends through the ages, connecting us to the saints who have gone before us and those who have yet to come, weaving our lives together through the work of liberation. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please remain standing and join me in praising the God who always shows up for us as we sing For the Beauty of the Earth. It is number 92 in your pew hymnal, or it will also be displayed on the screen. Let us now greet one another, old friends and friends to be, by shaking hands or maybe a fist bump because it's flu season, or maybe a high five saying good evening or peace be with you. I invite you to share the peace of Christ with your neighbor now. I understand. I see you. I see you. Peace be with you, Jim. I am. So let us gather back now together and be seated, because we have a special, special treat tonight. We have our combined choirs, choirs from each of our churches here to sing for us "For the Beauty of the Earth" by John Rutter.
A happy and blessed Thanksgiving week to all of you. It is, and also with you. Thank you so much. I'm surrounded by pastors up here. As a celebration of Thanksgiving, I thought it would be good for us to take a few moments, and if you are so led by the Spirit during the prayer, simply to lift up those things for which you are most thankful. I'll begin the prayer. And we'll enter into silence as the Spirit moves you. Just say those, say them out loud. Some of them are going to be obvious. That's all good. Some of them less so. And then after we've had silence again, I'll conclude the prayer and we'll continue with our service of worship. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, in this season of giving thanks, Thank you for your goodness, for your grace, for your claim and call on our lives, for your mercy and love that you extend to all your children. For this time, for the United Methodist Churches here in Syracuse to gather and to celebrate and to be thankful. So Lord, as we take this time, hear our prayers. Hear these prayers of thanksgiving as we lift them to you. Lord, I am thankful for this gathering, for the privilege of working with Pastors Alicia and Andy and Jihei, for the privilege of working among these great United Methodist churches here in Syracuse. I'm thankful for churches that risk and choose to stand out rather than stand back. And most of all, Lord, I am thankful for Jesus, who lived and loved and healed and taught and offered his life and rose from death that we might have life. The profoundest of thanksgiving that rises in my heart just to know and to live into that truth. I am profoundly grateful. And I'm grateful that he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen. Thank you, choir. Our scripture reading this evening comes from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, 11, and 17 and 18. This entire commandment that I command you today you must diligently observe, so that you may live and increase, and go in and occupy the land that the Lord promised an oath to your ancestors. Remember the long way that the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness, in order to humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. He humbled you by letting you hunger, then by feeding you with manna, with which neither you nor your ancestors were acquainted, in order to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments, his ordinances, and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Do not say to yourself, my power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, so that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your ancestors, as he is doing today. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Well, happy Thanksgiving. Good to see you all here today. How are you? Really? Good. Are you happy and gracious about all the food that you're going to eat and the family that you're going to see? Great. Well, some of you must be sad because some of your family decided not to come visit you this time, or you are unable to go to visit your family. Is somebody like that tonight? Yeah, I see some hands up. Me too. Well, if that's the case that, you know, some of your family doesn't want to come, I'll tell you a good strategy. Listen, this is a wisdom from a man in Louisville. The day before Thanksgiving, he calls his son in San Diego and says, well, I hate to ruin your day, but I have to tell you that your mom and I are divorcing. 45 years of misery is enough. The son screams, Pop, what are you talking about? And Pop says, we can't stand the sight of each other any longer. We're sick of each other, and I'm sick of talking about it. So you call your sister in Denver and tell her. Frantic, the son calls his sister, who explodes, of course, on the phone. She shouts, like the heck they're getting divorced. I'll take care of it. So she calls Louisville immediately and screams at her father, you are not getting divorced. Don't do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling my brother back, and both of us will be there tomorrow. She hangs up. The old man hangs off his phone and turns to his wife and says, okay, they're coming for Thanksgiving and paying for their own way. But really, I really wish you all happy and gratitude, gracious, because your heart is full with gratitude. Well, when Pastor BJ was leading the Thanksgiving prayer, some of you are bold enough to lift up, why are you thankful? And I appreciate that. And some of you may disagree with me and wonder inwardly, my life is like a heck. There's nothing to be thankful for. But my friends, whatever is the case, there are plenty of things that we can be thankful for. We don't have to be something to have something grandiose. Take a look at the video.
thank you, God, for trusting me to be his dad.
Thank you, Lord, that when a door closes, you're still going to take care of me.
And thank you for cheetahs and pickles and failing and mommy and daddy.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you, God, that you are the great physician of both my body and my soul.
Ladybugs and old people and Disney movies and Miss Walker and donuts.
Thank you, Father God, for love, joy, peace, and patience. Lord, especially patience.
And thank you for Jesse, even though he's mean during recess. Help him find a good friend. That's what he needs. I love you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, God, for childlike faith.
Thankful is easy, huh? Well, I'll tell you a bigger secret. We can be thankful whether or not life is good. How? Easy. Remember the source of the gratitude. The Lord our God. Then whether things are good or not, you can be always filled with gratitude. So remember, that's the big word for tonight. And it is also a big word in today's text. Here, having the promised land right in front of them, Moses reminds the people of Israel that what they did in the past, what they had undergone in the wilderness. He says in verse 2, remember the long way the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness. When he says remember, he's not merely saying to be reminiscent of it. He invites his audience to learn a significant lesson from their past, their experience of God's care in the wilderness, difficult times when they were unable to help themselves. So this is the first point of today. Remember the Lord when things are bad. Now, try to situate yourself in the text. Use your imagination. You are the people of Israel. For 40 years, you are in wilderness, in desert, where there are not much water and food. Hot, dry, not a friendly atmosphere. Certainly, it was a hard time. If someone asks whether you want to go back to those times, your answer must be, hell no. But still, Moses is saying that this hard experience is worth remembering. Why? Because you learn how to be thankful through the experience to God. I found particularly four lessons that we can learn from the hard times and difficult experiences. First, we can learn humility. You know, for you English speakers, when you hear the word humility, you will kind of, you know, shrink. You know, that's not a right thing, maybe. Well, this word humility, the verse of humility has been loathed in this culture particularly because it was understood as low self-esteem and self-confidence. But that's not true. That's not the understanding of humility in the Bible. Being humble means to realize our smallness without God. In this sense, humility is a real gift. And Moses is saying that God had humbled us in the wilderness so we can understand that everything is from God, nothing is from ourselves. So humility is a good thing about hard time. Second, we can learn to trust God only in God. In wilderness, the people of Israel had no other alternative but trust God. You know, it's not a proper place for farming, so they could not produce their own food or make their own clothes either. In this setting, God taught Israel that God alone was sufficient. So difficult times teach us to trust only in God. As a result, thirdly, we can learn that God's method is different from our method. The people of Israel especially learned it from God's method of giving supplies. When God provided manna for them, it was provided on a daily basis. At first, people were inclined to store up the food and save it for the safety. But you know what happened? When the very next day came, all the stored up food would perish. Only with the exception of the day before Sabbath. Also, think about it. They didn't have to take 40 years to go from Egypt to Israel. God did not lead them into the fasted way for sure. And I bet if I were the people of Israel, I must have grumbled about, you know, this is not an efficient way. Why is God doing this? But in the end, the people of Israel discovered that maybe God's way is not the fastest way, but it is the most surest way, the best way. So through difficulties, we learn that God's surest way may be different from our own methods, but we can learn that it is God's best way. And finally, most importantly, the best thing we can learn from our wilderness experience is God's love. In our troubled times, we learn that God will anyway sustain us and love us. And we can learn that we shall depend on God, only on God. Moses says in verse 3 that God humbled them in wilderness in order to make them to understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Sounds familiar, huh? So, are you in the wilderness? If so, remember the Lord. Learn to trust the Lord, whose method is different from us, but still loves and sustains us. You are like a soon-to-be butterfly in its cocoon. If you have observed a butterfly emerging out of its cocoon, or maybe seen a documentary like I did, you must observe that this is very hard for the butterfly. It's a very painful process. The cocoon has a very little opening, and the butterfly inside push very hard until it gets this final push. And when it gets out of its cocoon, it's exhausted but ready to fly. the wilderness was God's cocoon for his people. For 40 years, they struggled to get out of that place. But God's love had guided them and sustained them. And now the year of prosperity is ahead of them. So remember the Lord when things are bad and be thankful. Now, the people of Israel is about to enter the promised land. All the suffering will be gone and the life will be prosperous and blessed. But Moses gave a warning to them. Red flag, red sign. Remember the Lord when you are in the promised land, and don't you dare think that all that you have is from you. And this is the second lesson for tonight. Remember the Lord when things are good. Three times in verses 11 through 20, we only read 11 and 17 and 18, but if you want to go back to the Bible, three times in verse 11 through 20, Moses say about danger of forgetting the Lord your God. If you read the rest of the Bible closely, you will notice that it's their pattern. When they're all well, they forget God. But it's not only their thing. It's all our thing. Am I right? When our belly is full and life is satisfying, so we are not really desperate, I'm not going to pray. I don't really need to pray. Or maybe I don't really need to go Sunday service every Sunday. You know, we forget the one who provided it all. Really, our highest point can be our point of downfall. So, warning. Remember the Lord when things are good. Verse 18 in today's text well summarizes this. I'm going to read that for you. But remember the Lord, your God, for it is he who gives your power to get wealth so that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your ancestors as he is doing today. Remember the Lord. Really, do not forget that God was your liberator, leader, and sustainer. When we remember the Lord, we cannot but be thankful for all the things that God has done for us. Now, this is my final point, and maybe your favorite part. How can we remember the Lord? I just said in the beginning of my sermon that it's not just being reminiscent of it. It's not just our brain thing. It will help us to know what the Hebrew word here is. The word remember we have in English now in the Old Testament is a translation of Hebrew word zakar. This Hebrew word implies action and honor. For example, when we remember somebody, let's say if I want to remember my past grandmother, then I commemorate her. This word, English word commemorate, is very similar to the word zakar. And when I say I commemorate her, I may donate my money to somewhere or do something honorable for her name. Or if we say we commemorate a historical event, we do something like maybe enact the event all over again or hold an event to celebrate it. This is what it means to remember. We remember God means we give God a due honor and actually doing something for God. And I'll say this, the first and best way to remember God is forgetting not that God is the Lord. Admitting God's lordship and being obedient to God's will in our lives. But it does not mean only a passive submission to God. It's an active response to the love of God toward us. So in this sense, remembering Zakar becomes celebration and praise. So we have plenty of reasons to be grateful for, because we know the very ultimate source of every blessing. Moses' speech for the people of Israel some 1,000 years ago is also my invitation to you this evening. Remember the Lord, whether things are good or bad. Give God due honor. Celebrate, praise, and give thanks. And may the Lord, the source of every blessing, give you joy, gratitude, and peace. Happy Thanksgiving for you all. Amen.
Our next hymn, If We Just Talk of Thoughts and Prayers, was written by Carolyn Winfrey Gillette in response to the Texas church shooting earlier this month. It is sung to the familiar tune of Gift of Love. Will you please stand as you are able and join in singing?
Please be seated. Invite my colleagues to join me in front. At this time, we enter into a time of Holy Communion that is very appropriate for a time like this we call Thanksgiving. This is the great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. By your appointment, the seasons come and go. You bring forth bread from the earth and create the fruit of the vine. You formed us in your image and made us stewards of your world. Earth has yielded its treasure, and from your hand we have received blessing on blessing. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor. When hungry and tempted, he refused to make bread for himself, that he might be the bread of life for others. When the multitudes were hungry, he fed them. He broke bread with the outcast, but drove the greedy from the temple. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit.
On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of all these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and cup, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in unity to the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. The body of Christ given for you. The cup of salvation given for you. The Lord's table is ready, ready for you and for me. Christ invites you to come to his table. In spite of all that you're going through, come to receive God's grace. And even though you don't have anything to be thankful for, come to receive God's grace at God's table. We're going to have two stations. The ushers will direct you when you come. The bread we have is gluten-free, so everyone would receive gluten-free bread. And you are asked as you come to receive the sacrament of Holy Communion that you bring with you an imperishable item, So as you make your way down the aisle to the communion stations, we invite you to drop your gift in the baskets. I know that sometimes, you know, bringing something can be bulky, but we've got baskets here just in case you prefer to drop cash or check. We will be thankful for that, and God will be thankful for that too. So come and receive God's gift and bring your non-perishable item and bring your cash and your check as well. The ushers, Yeah, you stir with her as if she hears. The body of Christ given for you. 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 Let us pray. We give God thanks for the mystery of Holy Communion. We pray, God, that as we have partaken of the sacrament of Holy Communion, that we have received God's grace in abundance. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
On behalf of my colleagues, Andy, Alicia, Jihei, thank you for making space to be with us tonight. Choir, where are you? That was just spectacular music. Thank you so much for the great effort that you made. I've been privileged to sing that Rudder piece in previous incarnations, and felt like I should be up there with you, but then I think I would have just ruined the whole thing. So it was beautiful, wonderful, and nicely done. It has been our goal. My name is B.J. Norix. I'm the lead pastor for this team. It has been our goal to create opportunities for us as United Methodists here in the city of Syracuse to get together from time to time to worship, I think we had a picnic. That's more of a party than worship, but we had some worship there too. We did our big open-air event back in May, and we'll be doing that again this coming May, to create opportunities for us to build stronger relationships across the city and among our churches here in the city. Immediately following our gathering here, we're going downstairs where there is food and fellowship, and we hope that you'll come and spend time and meet folks maybe you do not know yet, and reacquaint with some other old friends as well. That's part of what we're doing. It's good to give thanks. It's really good to build new connections across this great city of ours. We are blessed to be together. The closing song, now, I believe all seven of our congregations are represented. Stephen does double duty. He spends time with Irwin First in the morning, and then he's the worship leader for Hope Church in the early afternoon. And Stephen is going to sing a fairly familiar contemporary song. The chorus will be up on the screen for you. It's very easy and very, very singable. It'll be easy to pick up and easy to do. And so after the song and after the benediction that I believe our host pastor is giving, we will go and do that. It is, you guys are brave. You know, snowpocalypse, it's like, oh my goodness, it's going to snow. It's like, Syracusans, it's never done this before here, right? This is novel, it's new, we have no idea what to do when there's white flakes floating around, but you are brave, and we're honored that you chose to spend time together with us this evening. God's blessings. Stephen?
Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with a sinner's restless heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy. And nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. Your grace. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Great is your love and justice, God of Jacob. You use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation. And all your people sing along. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me.
Amen. Go from this place to show up in the world. Show up to all its pain and beauty. Show up to yourself, for your neighbor, for those who went before, and for the sake of all that is living on this earth. Go in peace and courage, for God goes with you. Amen.